Private victories lead to public victories. The key to this renewal process is the daily private victory. When a person visualizes his day and wins a private victory before the day even begins, and when he consistently stays within that frame of reference and lives according to his vision, he becomes an unending source of blessings to everybody. In other words, the private victory leads to the public victory. The spiritual creation precedes the physical creation. Gethsemane precedes Calvary. And the same sequence is found in the restoration model. The private victory is achieved in the first three events, the public victory in the last three. As we reestablish our relationship with our Heavenly Father, recenter ourselves in Christ, and recommit ourselves to the gospel covenants, we are preparing ourselves to accomplish our church duties, especially those that pertain to our eternal families. And those duties include the family welfare farm or our employment. When we do all these things under the guidance of the Spirit, we are building Zion. That is the public victory. Furthermore, the key to the private victory is the public challenge. To achieve the private victory, we need the demands of a public challenge that transcends our own natural capacity. Where do we find such a challenge? We find it every day in the work of the church, and particularly in marriage and family life, which is the most exacting and demanding challenge of all because it's so intimate and so constant. If we weren't thrown out of our comfort zone by the requirement to serve other people, our efforts to draw closer to God would be a kind of fabricated spirituality. Like the missionary who was fasting all of the time, we would be living in an artificial world, focusing only on the vertical relationship and ignoring the horizontal. It is also important to understand where the private victory is won. In a sense, we all live three lives. The first is a public life, when we're around other people and sensitive to how they're perceiving us. The second is a private life, when we're either alone or with a loved one or a close friend or just being ourselves. The third is what we might call a secret life or a deep inner life. Many people seldom enter this secret life. It's a level of self-awareness that allows us to stand apart from our private and public lives and observe our involvement in them. The Apostle Paul said, "Let a man examine himself." And that is what this secret life enables us to do. For example, we can examine our mental and emotional state by asking ourselves, "What kind of mood am I in right now? Are my motives totally in alignment with my covenants? Is the Spirit working with me, or am I resisting the Spirit?" President David O. McKay used to counsel the Latter-day Saints to sit down and commune with yourself. There is a battle going on within you and within me every day. Fight it out with yourself and decide upon your course of action. Decide where your duty is, remembering that the greatest battle of life is fought out within the silent chambers of your own soul. Close quote. No other person on earth has access to our secret life, because as we are taught in D&C 6, there is none else save God that knoweth thy thoughts and the intents of thy heart. Thus we can totally control this inner life, and from it we can reprogram our private and public lives. We must conscientiously work to get into this life. But if we will do so, and if we invite the Lord Spirit there, it is the place where our public and private lives can be completely rescripted. If we will inwardly choose Christ, He can plant in us His motives, desires, and capacities, because He has the power to make all things new. We can choose Him because He has chosen us. This is why it's so important to constantly ponder the Scriptures. Scripture means true scripts.